Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Hello, glad you could join us again. This is Ecclesia Principles, and Ecclesia Principles, they are God's rules for government. The Bible speaks a lot about government. I won't say it doesn't talk about politics, but God's not political. God is a governor. God rules all. God, the government, Isaiah 9:6 says, shall be on his shoulder. God is into government, good government. And in this, right now, we are looking at what I'm calling the Ecclesia Principles, a set of 12 principles, foundational principles. The first one was you have to determine the transcendent principles. Like Jesus told the people, he said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Those two, on those hang all the law and prophets. They were the transcendent principles of the law. Now, in this, we determined that liberty, equality, and justice are the three transcendent principles that we need to function off of. The number two principle, which is what we're talking about again today, we talked about the initial concept of it last time, and that is the principle of choice. Now, some key concepts in understanding all of this in regard to what God says about government and how government needs to work. First, there has to be a vision, a biblically based vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation or there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. See, Proverbs 29:18 in context is talking about a national vision, a national revelation, and an understanding of how God wants things to be. He said, when that happens, then everybody's happy. It creates a good situation. But where there is no revelation, where there is no, let's call it, national unifying vision, then the people cast off restraint. And certainly we can see that happening today. We need to restore a national unifying vision that is biblically based for us to have a good situation. Wherever God's principles are applied, it will create domestic tranquility, it will create a sustainable prosperity, and a sustainable liberty for the people that are involved in it. Now, with that, this tells us that there does need to be a small set of guiding principles that are superior to everything else. So first we have the transcendent principles, number one, and then 12 total ecclesia principles that we're looking at. And principle number two is choice. And what we talked about last week was that choice begins by recognizing that there is good and evil, and we're constantly choosing one or the other. There is good, there is evil. Unfortunately, in our society, and it largely stems from the concept of evolution, we're just evolving. There is no good, there is no evil. Everyone has their own truth. Everything is acceptable. Your view is as good as my view. There is no right, there is no wrong. What's right for one may not be right for the other. What's wrong for one may not be wrong for the other. And all that does is create the situation that we've got right now. It creates chaos. It creates confusion. It creates division among the people. It creates all kinds of hard feelings. So much of what we're experiencing today comes down to that one concept of not recognizing that there's evil, and we have to make choices regarding that evil.
We'll be right back after this break.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who are called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
Now, let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about the principle of choice. The principle of choice. You see, we are personally responsible for our choices. If you would, a key component of the principle of choice is personal responsibility. In our society today, there is such a removal of responsibility. It's trying to fix this, trying to eliminate this consequence for this choice, this decision, this action, removing that. It was all, you know, to quote the Three Stooges, you know, Curly, victim of circumstance. You know, it wasn't a bad choice. I was just a victim of circumstance. I made a good choice based on what I knew and what I had. I was just a victim of circumstance. No, personal responsibility is a key component of choice. Choice creates the concept of personal responsibility. Now, we see this initiated in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Where it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. God put Adam in the garden for a purpose. He had an assignment. He had a responsibility. Tend and keep the garden. God gave Adam a job. God gave Adam a job. He made him responsible for the garden. Now, in that, you know, there was a garden, as the Bible tells us in Genesis 2, eastward in Eden. In reality, God told him to be fruitful and multiply. Now, at this point, he was talking about a number of things, one of which was the garden. Multiply the garden. Fill the earth with the garden, which meant, as God said in Genesis 1:26, have dominion over all the earth. Adam's responsibility was for the entire earth. The entire earth was his garden. It just hadn't all been tended and kept yet. It hadn't all been cultivated yet. That word tend means to cultivate. The word keep basically means to protect. Cultivate it and protect it. God gave him the responsibility to tend the garden. Excuse me. You see, we all have a responsibility to tend our gardens, to tend and to keep it, to cultivate our garden and to protect our garden. That is a responsibility that, if you would, it has passed on from Adam to all of us. We have that personal responsibility to cultivate our garden and to keep our garden, to protect it. You see, if you would, so much of what God has given us, Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of the Lord, the glory of God, to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. You see, we actually have too often a backwards concept to how God is working. God says it's his glory to conceal something. It's our glory to search it out. In other words, the way God has designed things is God's concealed things, and we're supposed to cultivate those things and discover them. You see, when a baby's born, when you look at a baby, you can't tell what it's going to grow up to be. You can't tell the talents. You can't tell the skills that it will have. You can't tell the level of intelligence that that baby will have. But over time, it is very important for that child to try a lot of things, to attempt a lot of things. And through those attempts, they will recognize that they can cultivate certain skills, and it doesn't matter what they do with some other skills, it just won't go anywhere. You know, a perfect example that I use of myself You know, when I was a teenager, I wanted to sing and I also wanted to play an instrument. Initially, I tried to play the guitar. And with that, I actually took lessons to learn how to play. And after a period of time, the instructor told me, you know, it was probably best if I just kept my money. You see, I was trying to discover my ability. There just wasn't any there to discover. And so, but I would have never known that if I hadn't tried it, if I hadn't pursued it, if I didn't search it out. But now I'm perfectly at peace knowing, not my gift, not my thing. Wished it was, but it's just not. And so we have to cultivate our gardens. We have that responsibility. So often today, people are waiting for someone else to cultivate their garden, to develop their potential. No, you have a personal responsibility to make the choices to discover your abilities.
We'll be right back after this break.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
To discover what God has gifted you with. We're all responsible to tend and cultivate our gardens. You see, personal responsibility is also a requirement for an individual to mature. Personal responsibility and maturity go hand in hand. Now, what connects them is choice. What connects personal responsibility to maturity is choice. When a person has a choice, it's their responsibility to choose, and then the results take place. They learn that in that process of making the choice, being responsible for it, seeing the results, maturity comes about. You see, part of our problem today in our society is that too many people are not giving people responsibility. Parents aren't giving their children responsibility. You know, one of the key phrases nowadays, oh, they just need to be kids. I understand they need to be kids. So that means whatever responsibility you give them needs to be small. But as they get older, you need to continue to increase that. See, one of the things that we did with our children, and I'm not saying you're supposed to do this, but one of the things I wanted to do was teach them about the concept of money and understanding that. Now, what we did, there were times that, you know, a lot of things we just bought them, but periodically there were things that if they wanted it, I didn't tell them no. I told them, tell you what, you can get it. But you will need to find a way to contribute X amount. You know, I can remember our youngest son, Zach, he wanted a first baseman's mitt when he was a kid. And he was too young for the mitt. The mitt was too big for him. But he wanted it. And, well, I wasn't going to get it. And I thought, well, this will probably take him a while. And so I told him, I said, you know, we'll give you jobs from time to time, things that you can do around the house where he could work and get some money. And with that, you can save your money and get, once you get enough, you can get the glove. Well, what shocked me was at that point, he wanted that baseball mitt, that first baseman's mitt. He wanted it so bad that when it came time for like birthdays and things like that with relatives, when they asked, you know, what would he want? He wanted money. He wanted money. Why? Because he was going to put that money toward that first baseman's mitt. And he got it sooner than I expected him to get it. The glove was too big for him. I thought maybe another year or two, but he got it pretty quick because he understood that concept, and he counted up his money, and he knew exactly when he had enough money to go buy that mitt. We even did that with him with Christmas. We'd tell him, here's how much we're spending for you for Christmas. You pick out the things that you would like. We'd tell them, you know, do some extra, and we'll pick. We always had surprises in there for them. But we wanted them to understand the concept of budgeting. And I'm talking about we did this when they were like 8 years old. And let them be involved in that process. They learned responsibility. They, you know, and then when at Christmas they picked something and, you know, it ended up not being that good or it wasn't what they wanted, then they understood that was their choice. And they had allotted X amount of money to that choice. And then they understood the importance of making a choice. And it created maturity. And shockingly, I'll be honest with you, I never expected it, but both of them today, one of them's already got their degree in finance, the other's getting it, and they're both engaged in those types of things. But evidently they took it enough to heart that they began to understand it and began to recognize it and see it. Personal responsibility and individual maturity go hand in hand, and they're both driven by the concept of choice. Without choice, without responsibility, maturity doesn't happen. Now again, it has to be measured. To whom much is given, much is required. The opposite is also true. To whom little is given, little should be required. Kids, there should be something required, but make it small.
We'll be right back after this break.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, right after God told Adam to tend and keep the garden, it says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" You see, consequences are a part of personal responsibility. Consequences are a part of choice. If there are no potential consequences, then you really don't have a choice. You just get to do whatever, and then somebody fixes it. Consequences are a part of choice. Consequences are a part of personal responsibility. Our society, if we continue to remove choice, you see, so much of what is being done today, in all honesty, a lot of what is really driving the abortion dialogue isn't the freedom of choice, it's freedom from consequences. It's freedom from, I don't want something to affect my life that I didn't plan on. They can say what they want to about a lot of things. They'll always use the small percentage situations, you know, rape and incest. Happens very little in that regard. It does happen. Don't misunderstand me. But percentage-wise, more frequently, many more of the abortions that take place in our country are just an elimination of personal responsibility. It's an elimination of consequences. I don't want this affecting my life. And that's really what's driving it. And as a result of that, our society is losing maturity. One of the things I did with our sons is very often, and some people might not like this, but especially if we would see people in the orange suits along the side of the road, I would ask my sons, I said, "Do y'all know why they're there?" And I'd always ask this when they were young enough that I know that they wouldn't know the answer. And they said, "No." I said, "It's because they never learned the meaning of no. If you don't learn the meaning of no at home, society will teach you the meaning of no. The sad part of it is, in our culture right now, there are politicians that are trying to eliminate the meaning of no across the board. And so that creates extreme problems, which is why violent crime is dramatically increasing at this time in our country. Consequences are a part of personal responsibility. Also, personal responsibility requires self-government. If I have a choice to make, and personal responsibility empowers me with that choice, it creates the idea and the concept of self-government. If I have the ability to make a choice and I can choose between good or evil, then if I want things to go well, I need to choose good, even if I'm tempted to choose evil. It creates personal responsibility. The principle of choice creates the need for self-government. And again, in our society today, there is so much trying to eliminate the need for self-government. Here's the thing. If self-government's eliminated, it doesn't mean that there's not government necessary. No, usually when you eliminate self-government, what you do is you empower civil government to rule the person. And no longer does the person have liberty. It's the civil government that makes the choice and makes the decisions for the people, because with the government go the choice. If you have self-government, then the individual has choice. If you have an oligarchy, communism, socialism, then government has the choice. And very often they'll say, well, you know, we know better in one way or another. You see, self-government has to be internalized. The ability to make the choices and to make the decisions has to be internalized. And part of how this is done is the rules for government, the ecclesia principles, have to be built into the consciousness of the population. And then we can have good government. God bless you.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.